This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. We started last week our journey trying to discover what the principles of success are according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said in the era of the 21st century, where everyone is trying to capture our attention for better or for worse, everyone is claiming that they have discovered the secrets for happiness and their principles for success. Muslims and non-Muslims alike are talking about it. Theories are all over the place. And we said that it would be nice for us to have the opportunity to learn how success is to be attained from our very Maker himself, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And that is why we have turned to Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25 of the Quran. And we're looking towards the end of the surah, from verses 63 to around 76. And this is where Allah Jalla Jalaluhu describes the qualities of the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it hasn't been left a secret. Somebody who wants to know how to hit the jackpot, if you wish to put it crudely, somebody wants to know how to be the dearest to Allah, it's not left for trial and error. You don't even need the opinion of a prophet or a messenger. Allah himself has given to us a list of characteristics that is needed. Describing your walk, describing your talk, describing your mornings, describing your evenings, describing how you behave in public, your behavior in private, and describing the very words that you and I are to use when making dua. It's simple, it's as simple as that. Allahu Akbar. Last week we began looking at two of those characteristics, and we have already made a promise between us, haven't we? We've made a promise that there is no better month to exercise these qualities than the month that we are witnessing now. And a person who does not make an active effort to apply these traits in this month, month of Ramadan, then it's an indication that there is very little good in this person. Gates of paradise are open, gates of hell are closed. The shayateen have been shackled. The rebellious jinn are not around. Allah has gifted us with Laylatul Qadr. It's a month of mercy. And then we still fail to see an active change in our public and private doings. Thus the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say about such a person, Ab'adahu Allah. May Allah distance such a person. May Allah keep him away. So keep your intention, dear brother, dear sister, as you are hearing these words. This is not an entertainment evening. Yes, there is joy that comes from the likes of these sittings. Undoubtedly, that's not the prime cornerstone of why we are here. We are here to show Allah Almighty a transformation. And this needs to be our intention when coming to the house of Allah. What was characteristic number one? Do you remember? Characteristic number one from the true servants of Ar-Rahman. What was it? They walk on the earth with ease. How did we understand the term ease? Okay, without pride. So they are people of humbleness. Okay, what else? Ala al-ard. So they walk on the earth with an element of pride. So is this a contradiction to Brother Fahim, Abu Aman? Good. So they in of themselves are humble people. When they are walking on the earth, you don't see any sign of arrogance. But at the same token, the wording of the ayah describes that there is pride in their walk, because they are walking on the earth, not within the earth, on the earth. So we said that they are people who are proud to be Muslims. So they don't show any conceit, haughtiness, egotism, arrogance. At the same token, they are confident with their religion, confident in their principles, confident. What else? They describe their walk, and what else? Another characteristic, number two, of the true servants of Ar-Rahman, salam. Yeah. When the ignorant people address them harshly, they respond with words of peace. Allahu Akbar. We said, brother, you're going to regret now that you raised your hand. We said that there are four ways that people respond to ignorance. Okay, level number one, that you respond to ignorance with greater ignorance. Yeah, number two. Okay, the second way is a similar amount of ignorance. Yeah, number three. To just ignore the person, yes? And the fourth is to respond with kindness. Good, with excellence. Yes, very good. Tayyib. So we've said that the true servants of Ar-Rahman are as follows. Allah said, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. The true servants, or if you wish, the true worshippers of Ar-Rahman. We explained this last week. They are the ones who walk the earth with ease. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And when they are addressed by the ignorant harshly, they respond with words of peace. We elaborated upon that. What else do we know about them? Allahu Akbar. Listen to the verse after it, and I hope you are following through your own copies of the Quran, chapter 25, ayah 63, and moving onwards. Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. They are those who spend their nights prostrating and bowing to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah that Allah has imposed upon us the month of Ramadan. And alhamdulillah that Allah has legislated for us Salatu Taraweeh, the evening prayer in the month of Ramadan. Because in the lives of many people, they have not bowed or prostrated to Allah Almighty once in the night voluntarily. For the entire year, from Ramadan to Ramadan, they are a corpse. They are a corpse during the night when they are asleep. A log. Thus Ramadan comes and wakes them up. It's from the mercy of Allah. Training for the rest of the year. The true servants of Allah Almighty who spend their evenings prostrating and bowing to Allah. Nothing in this ayah is alluding to the month of Ramadan. To show you they prostrate and they bow all throughout the year. And they dedicate a portion of the night for the worship of Allah, regardless of what month it is and what season it is. Allahu Akbar. Big things on their mind. So big and so enormous are their concerns, and so great is their fear of the hereafter, and so high are their aspirations for paradise that it wakes them up at night. And this, by the way, was the qiyam of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It wasn't just praying before going to sleep after Isha, and there is goodness in that, don't get me wrong. And it wasn't just a prayer of the night before Salatul Fajr, which is the greatest time for qiyam, the time of Sahar, and there is greatness in that. His qiyam was one where he would sleep and wake up and pray, then sleep and wake up and pray, sleep and wake up and pray. In other words, Salah was almost harassing him. He couldn't, his sides were forsaking his beds, as Allah described the Quran. He couldn't, he would get up and pray, fall asleep, wake up and pray. This is somebody who has salah on his mind and Allah in his heart. Allahu Akbar. I want to ask a question here before we open up this topic of qiyam, praying at night, and how relevant it is to the month of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. Question. Don't you find it interesting how the very first two characteristics of the true servants of Ar-Rahman had nothing to do with worship? What were the first two? They walk with ease, they're humble. Number two, how they speak when they are addressed harshly. The first two characteristics had nothing to do with their worship or direct relationship with Allah. Then after telling us about how they behave with people during the day, then Allah went to tell us about their behavior at night. They worship me, they bow to me, they prostrate. What is the significance of that? Somebody other than our brother. Yes? Perfecting their manners. Allahu Akbar. So it's almost as if it is an indication from Allah. A subtle reminder to you, O Muslim, beware of limiting your understanding of being religious to prayer and fasting and Hajj. Being a practicing Muslim is very much governed as well by your behavior with people. It's amazing. So many of our brothers and sisters who are sat with us today here in the masjid, who may have been students of these study circles for maybe 7-8 years, and nevertheless phone calls come to me and others from their parents, from their children, from their wives, from their husbands, saying, what are you teaching them? You claim to be teaching them manners in the masjid, and indeed we have a series all about manners. And the very same parents are saying, where are the signs of their manners at home? Or is it just religiosity in the masjid? Where are their manners? And thus alluding to this message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions their qualities with people before speaking about their behavior with Him. Religion is a large part of it, your behavior with people. Beware of the secularistic mentality of leave what is for Caesar, what is for God. We don't have that divorce between church and state as Muslims. Our religion governs how we bow and prostrate. Our religion governs how we fast and recite. Our religion governs our pound and dollar. It governs our politics. It governs our policies. This is our religion. Beware of creating that separation, dear brother, dear sister, and being a fitna for people. Saying, is this the religion, your newly acquired religiosity? You know what? I preferred you when you were not a practicing person. Now that you've made life for us in the house, hell on earth. Allah said they are well behaved with people. They are composed, subtle. At the same token, they worship me at night. Allahu Akbar. And that is why our mother Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, Allahu Akbar, brothers and sisters, I personally never tire of reminding myself of this principle. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came rushing back from the cave following his very first experience with revelation, Angel Jibreel. He didn't know what that was. What was that thing that just came and attacked me? Why was it saying to me, read? How come it hugged me so tightly that I almost lost my life three times? He didn't know this was revelation, huh? This was the beginning of revelation. He came rushing back from the mountain, went to his wife Khadija radiallahu anha, his comfort, and she waited. He said, Zammiluni, Dathiruni, cover me, shroud me. They covered him. He was shaking. Then when he relaxed and he calmed down, he said to her, Laqad khashitu ala nafsi ya Khadija. Oh Khadija, I feared for my life. She didn't interrupt him. She didn't say to him, what's wrong? Why are you panicking? What's happening? And she didn't make him feel or compound the element of fear in his heart. She left him. She realized something was strange. Something strange was going on. She left him. When he found the ability to speak, he spoke. Then she gave him the advice. He said, I feared for my life, O Khadija. Look at the words of our mother Khadija. She said to him, Allah would never disgrace a man like you. How come? Because you pray at night? Because you fast? She said to him, Kalla wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada. By Allah, Allah would never humiliate a man like you. Can your wife say that about you, my brother? Can your husband say this about you, my sister? Allah would never disgrace a man like you. How come? She said, Innaka la tasilu rahim. Because you are a man who establishes your family ties. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ And you carry those who are burdened. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ And you provide for those who are poor and destitute. وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفِ And you are so generous with your guests. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ And you assist the people who deserve assistance, who have been afflicted by calamities. Not a single one of those characteristics that she identified in him had to do with worship. She said to him, Allah would never disgrace a man like you because you are good with the people. Don't say to me, Brother Ali, that there was no worship. There was no worship because he wasn't a prophet before this. La ya akhi, there was worship. He was worshiping Allah. Our mother Aisha, who narrated this incident, said that he would go to the cave prior to revelation, yatahannath, meaning worshiping Allah. One way or another, he was worshiping Allah. So he was. What do you think he was doing in the cave? He was worshipping Allah, thinking about Allah. She didn't list that to him. She didn't say to him, you leave us for weeks on end in a dark, dingy cave because of the paganism of Mecca, how you left them. She never mentioned that. She said, you help the destitute and you honor your guests and you carry the burden, and thus Allah will never disgrace a man like you. Brothers and sisters, don't separate between manners with people, beginning with family, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children, husbands, and the element of worship. If you have, then this is a skewed understanding of Islam. Ask Allah Almighty to rectify it for yourself. So this is the first reflection I wanted to mention here. The second thing is the element of the night prayer. The element of the night prayer. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said about this value that you are now reading, about the true slaves, the worshippers of Allah, he said, when entering the city of Medina, and funnily enough, the one who narrated this hadith was an ex-Jew, as Imam al-Tirmidhi narrates in his Jami', when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the city of Medina, he heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make the following words, an announcement, if you wish, this was his Islamic constitution that shows the world how he's going to be governing the city of Mecca. The Islamic state, the ideal Islamic state, right, is built upon these principles here. This is what he said. His manifesto, right? Ayyuhan nas, O people, afshu salam, spread peace. At'imu ta'am, distribute food. Silu al-arham, uphold your family ties. صلوا بالليل والناس نيام, pray at night when people are asleep. تدخل الجنة بسلام, and Allah will allow you to enter paradise in peace. Allahu Akbar. He said to them, spread peace, because if a society is turbulent, if there is fitna, there is killing, there is bloodshed, how can the da'wah flourish? We need stability in this city so that we can convey our responsibility of bringing Islam to the world. Spread peace, he said. Distribute food. Uphold your family ties. Pray at night when people are asleep, and Allah will allow you to enter Jannah in peace. Do you worry about the horrors of death, the horrors of the grave, the horrors of the reckoning, and the horrors of standing before Allah to be asked about the minor and the major of your doings? Do you fear that? Do you fear the horrors of the bridge? He said, do these four things, you will enter Jannah in peace. Ya Rabbi, allow us to enter Jannah in peace. And in another narration, Allahu Akbar, and we will pause at this one for some time, which Imam al-Tirmidhi narrates in his Jami' on the authority of the companion Abu Umamah al-Bahili. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عليكم بقيام الليل, make sure that you act upon the prayer of the night. فَإِنَّهُ دَأْبُ الصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, because it is the way of the righteous people before you. وَهُوَ قُرْبَةٌ لَكُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ, and it is a means of drawing closer to your Lord. وَمَكْفَرَةٌ عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ وَمَنْهَاتٌ عَنِ الْإِثِمْ, and it is a means of erasing sins and preventing you from them. Allahu Akbar. Take it, yeah, phase by phase. Let us take it sentence by sentence. He said, it is the way of the righteous people before you. And who was the most righteous of people? Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the imams of all imams, the imam of all imams, and the greatest of the prophets and messengers alayhi salatu wa salam. Humanity has never seen any creation who was dearer to Allah than him. And he used to pray at night. Right from the very outset of Islam, he was bowing and prostrating to Allah. He is a true servant of Allah. And what is interesting is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him in one of the very first chapters of the Quran that were given to him, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, O you who is covered up. It's that early. O you who is covered up. He was afraid because of the angel. Qumi layla illa qalila. Pray the entire night. Stand the entire night in prayer. Think about that. Except a small part of it. Yeah, you can rest. Stand the entire night in salah. Nisfahu, Allah said, half of it. Awinqus minhu qalila, or less than that. Awzid alayhi, or pray a little bit more. Warattilil Qur'ana tartila, and recite the Qur'an in a measured way. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila, because we are going to send upon you a heavy word. We're going to send upon you Qur'an. And therefore it needs foundations, your foundations as a caller to Allah, so that you don't shake in the fitna of dunya. Your foundations is the prayer of the night. This surah that you just heard of is surah 3 or surah 4, chronologically. Surah 3 or surah 4. So there wasn't much Qur'an before this. And nevertheless, he was spending the majority of the night in prayer. And you think to yourself, subhanAllah, what was he reciting? What was he reading? If there was only 3 or 4 chapters of the Quran around, there's no Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah Al-An'am, these long ones. They weren't around. And he is spending the majority of the night in prayer. What was he reciting? Allah Almighty knows best what he was doing. Undoubtedly, he was glorifying Allah with what knowledge Allah gave him. And that is the fruit of knowledge. You don't wait to become a graduate from Darul Uloom, Medina, Mecca, Riyadh, Azhar University, with a BA in the Sharia, a PhD in Sharia. You don't wait to reach that level before starting your worship of Allah. Who said? 3-4 chapters of the Quran was sufficient to instruct him to pray the majority of the night in prayer. And it was an obligation upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was also an obligation upon his companions for the first part of Islam. And then that was abrogated, as some scholars have said, and it was made a sunnah, desirable for the companions, and it remained an obligation for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He needs food that a lot of us may not necessarily need. He needs quantities of food, let us say, that a lot of us may not necessarily need. He has a huge task ahead of him. Allahu Akbar, we're going to send down upon you a heavy word. So pray at night. Our parents, they say to us, you've got a long and heavy day ahead of you, so sleep. Get an early night. You've got a long day ahead of you. Allah said to his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the philosophy is different here. You've got a long day ahead of you and a heavy word that is coming. So pray at night. The majority of it. Subhanallah al-Azim. So it was the way of the righteous people before us, and he is and will always be at the top of that pyramid, alayhi salatu wasalam. He prayed at night. And Abu Zinad, Abdullah ibn Dhakwan, one of our earliest of the predecessors, he said, كُنْتُ أَخْرُجُ إِلَىٰ مَسْجِدِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَقْتَ السَّحَرِ فَلَا أَمُرُّ بِبَيْتٍ إِلَّا وَفِيهِ قَارِئِ. I used to walk through the streets of the city of Medina, making my way to the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the last part of the night. At that point is when a lot of us are tearing the house down with those roars and those snores, and that's the deepest part of the sleep, right? He said, I would walk through the city of Medina at that time, making my way to the masjid. And he said, every single house I would walk past, I would hear the sound of the recitation of Quran. No one was asleep. So you see why their situation was what it was then, and why our situation is as it is today. It's more than just fundraisers and charity events. It's a whole way of life that governed their nights and their days. So Allah gave them success, and Allah gave them openings, and Allah gave them dignity. Abdullah ibn Dhakwan, the same man, Abu Zinad, he said, and whenever we, the young men, wanted something from the adults, we needed something, we would say to each other, let us meet at the hour of recitation. Let us meet at the hour of recitation. Which hour? The last part of the night. In other words, if you need to find someone, you will find him at night. They will be at home praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And Tawus ibn Kaysan al-Yamani, Tawus, one of our predecessors, he said, مَا كُنْتُ أَرَى أَحَدًا يَنَامُ فِي السَّحَرِ. I never used to see anybody praying at the last portion of the night. Excuse me. Tawus ibn Kaysan al-Yamani, he would say, I never used to see anyone sleeping during the last portion of the night. I never used to see anyone sleeping during the last portion of the night. Everyone was awake. Brothers and sisters, it was the way of the righteous people before us. A student of knowledge came to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. You are aware of Imam Ahmad. And Imam Ahmad, by the way, had memorized 1 million hadith. Imam Ahmad had memorized 1 million hadith. And by the way, when we say that they memorized a hadith, it wasn't like the hadith that Ali memorizes or any other Tom, Dick, and Harry. Abu Hurairah narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, narrated by Bukhari. It's not like that. They will say to you, we were told that such and such said, that such and such said, that such and such said, and he will give you the entire chain of transmission, maybe 20 people, then he will give you the text. 1 million times over. Yes? Imam Ahmad had a student who came to him saying, I would like to pursue knowledge. So Imam Ahmad took him into his home, And then Imam Ahmad prepared for him a small vessel of water for him to do his wudu for salah. Imam Ahmad came to wake him up the next morning for Salatul Fajr, and he noticed that that vessel of water was untouched. What does that mean? He never prayed through the night. Imam Ahmad looked at the vessel and he said to the student of knowledge, Subhanallah, rajulun yatlubu al-hadith وَلَا يَكُونُ لَهُ وِرْدٌ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ Subhanallah, a man who wants knowledge of Islamic knowledge, a man who wants knowledge of hadith, but he does not have a portion of prayer at night. A man who has come to me wanting knowledge, but he doesn't pray at night. How does that work? What equation is this? What religion is this? Allahu Akbar. And similarly, we must say the same thing, brothers and sisters. Subhanallah, an ISOC president who doesn't pray at night. Subhanallah, a treasurer, a secretary, a volunteer of an Islamic society, of a FOSIS campaign of some sort, and doesn't pray at night. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, an imam, a sheikh, a mufti, a student of knowledge, a halaqa, deliverer, who doesn't pray at night. Subhanallah. A parent, husband or wife, who intend on creating a generation of Muslims, revivalists, and they don't pray at night. Subhanallah, a Muslim who sees the policies being put in place in order to divert people from their fitrah, whether at school or any other institution, and you still do not pray at night. Subhanallah, as Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he would say, Subhanallah. So this is the first part of the hadith. Take care of your night prayer because it is the way of the righteous people before you. So think about it. When you stand up to Allah, bowing and prostrating, you have now become part and an extension of a very long legacy. Be part of that legacy. What was the second part of the hadith? Is it here? No, it's not there. It's a means of drawing closer to your Lord. If you would like to summarize Qiyamul Layl, the night prayer, in one sentence, you can say it is one of the quickest elevators to Allah. It is a means of drawing closer to your Lord. Allah loves those moments you spend bowing and prostrating at night when people are asleep. And perhaps this is one of the reasons why we don't actually know much about the reward that Allah has prepared for those men and women who pray at night. You say to me, Brother Ali, excite me now with some narrations in order to encourage me to set my alarm for this evening and to pray more than just my taraweeh. What narrations are there? Well, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said this. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ Allah said that these people, their sides forsake their beds. It's like their sides are allergic to their beds. It's like Allah is saying to us, every time they rest their side to sleep, they want to get up and pray to Allah. It's not like they're dragging their feet out of the bed. Their sides are forsaking their beds. How come, O Allah? Are they ill? No. Allah says, they are calling upon their Lord out of fear and out of hope, and from what we have given them, they are spending. So what is their reward, O Allah? Give us now the verse after it, Brother Ali, so that we know what Allah has prepared for them. Listen to the answer. The people who pray at night, Taraweeh and beyond. Allah said, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Allah said, therefore, no soul has knowledge of the happiness and the joy and the delights of your eyes that has been prepared for such people as a reward for what they used to do. What is the full reward of the people who pray at night? According to Allah Almighty, it has been kept a secret. Why was it kept a secret? Imam Ibn Qayyim, he says, تأمل, ponder, he said, تأمل كيف قابل الله ما أخفوه من قيامهم بالليل بما أخفاه لهم من الجزاء مِمَّا لَا تَعْلَمُهُ نَفْسِ He said, ponder over how, because they carried out an act of worship that no one was aware of, Allah will give them a reward that nobody will be aware of. Subhanallah. They carried out an action of worship in secret. Therefore, their reward is going to be a secret between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Doesn't that excite you, dear brother, dear sister, to do something about it? That doesn't mean that we don't know anything about the reward of the people who pray at night. We do. The Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Imam al-Tirmidhi narrates on the authority of Ali, إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ غُرَفَ تُرَى ظُهُورُهَا مِنْ بُطُونِهَا وَظُهُورُهَا مِنْ إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ غُرَفَ إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ غُرَفَ تُرَى ظُهُورُهَا مِنْ بُطُونِهَا وَبُطُونُهَا مِنْ ظُهُورِهَا. He said, in paradise, there are certain houses that Allah Almighty has built for the people who pray at night. There are certain homes in Jannah that the outsides of which can be seen from their insides, and their insides can be seen from their outsides. We said, O Messenger of Allah, who do these homes belong to? He said, here, they belong to لِمَنْ أَطَابَ الْكَلَامِ وَأَطْعَمَ الطَّعَامِ وَأَدَامَ الصِّيَامِ وَصَلَّى لِلَّهِ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ. He said, these gardens belongs, or these homes belong to those who speak beautiful words. And they distribute food. And they fast continuously. And they pray at night when people are asleep. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he said, Subhanallah, focus on how these four characteristics are captured by the month of Ramadan. Isn't it such an opportunity? What was characteristic number one? The one who is beautiful in speech. In the month of Ramadan, we are encouraged not to insult the one who insults us. Yes, you say, Inni sa'im, I am fasting. You beautify your speech, a training for the rest of the year. Characteristic number two, distribute food, and there is a reward for feeding the people who are fasting. Number three, those who are perpetually fasting, and that is an obvious one. Number four, those who pray at night, and that is our evenings in the month of Ramadan. Ibn Rajab said, look at how Allah has captured all four of these in the month of Ramadan. Subhanallah, it's an opportunity. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that take care of your night prayer because it is the way of the righteous people before you. And it is a means of drawing closer to your Lord. Look at number three. Look at number three. He said, what was it, my brothers? It is a means of erasing sins. Ya Allah, are there sins of yours of the past that you regret doing and they keep you up at night? Because you know that the ugly face of those sins, they have to show up in your life sooner or later. Yeah, there's something we can do about that. The night prayer is a means of blotting them out. But the last part of the hadith is what takes my mind away. He said, وَمَنْهَاتٌ عَنِ الْإِثْمِ. It is a means of preventing you from sins. It's easy to prescribe repentance. The issue that a lot of us have is, brother, I'm going to go back to it. I have this weakness. I repent momentarily, but I fear I will go back. It's too tempting. The urge is too strong. The passion is too powerful. And the accessibility is just handheld now. What do? I repent, I go back. I repent, I go back. The Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Qiyam, the night prayer, is a means of preventing you from sins. It will be that firewall that stands between you and that addiction, me and that addiction. And that is why Qiyamul Layl is the honor of the believer. That is why the night prayer is the honor of the believer. Because if Allah has spared you from sins, He has spared you from the humiliating effects of those sins. It's the honor of the believer. That's how he described it, alayhi salatu wasalam. Listen to what he said. He said, Atani Jibreel, Angel Jibreel once came to me and he said to me the following, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, Aish ma shi't, fa innaka mayyit, wa ahbib man shi't, fa innaka mufariquh. وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَجْزِيٌ بِهِ وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ شَرَفَ الْمُؤْمِنْ قِيَامُهُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَأَنَّ عِزَّهُ اسْتِغْنَاؤُهُ عَنِ النَّاسِ. He said, Angel Jibreel came to me and he said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, live as long as you wish, you're going to die in the end. And love whoever you wish, you will have to bid them farewell in the end. And do whatever you wish, but you're going to be held accountable for it in the end. And realize, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the honor of the believer is found in his prayer at night. And the dignity of the believer is when he is self-sufficient, not in need of people. Allahu Akbar. He said to him, the night prayer is the dignity of the believer. Allahu Akbar. A few questions before we continue. Some practical questions now pertaining to the night prayer. Somebody may say, how much am I expected to recite at night? How much am I expected to recite? So in other words, I intend to set my alarm to pray as of this evening above and beyond my Taraweeh prayer and after Eid until the next Ramadan. What if my recitation, or how much do I need to recite? The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us a benchmark here. He said, "Man qama bi ashri ayatin lam yuktab min al-qanitin. Wa man qama bi mi'ati ayatin kutiba man qama bi ashri ayatin lam yuktab min al-ghafilin. Wa man qama bi mi'ati ayatin kutiba min al-qanitin. Wa man qama bi alfi ayatin kutiba min al-muqantirin." He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever prays at night with 10 verses of the Quran, 10 ayat, Allah will not write him as a heedless person. This person will not be written down as a neglectful Muslim. Quick footnote here. What is the converse implication? What is the converse implication of that statement? That if you don't pray at night with a minimum of 10 verses, then you will be written with Allah amongst the ghafilin, amongst the heedless. He said, whoever prays using 10 verses, 10 ayat, he will not be written amongst the ghafilin, the heedless. Okay, that's a start, alhamdulillah. He said, but whoever prays to Allah Almighty with 100 ayat of the Quran, Allah will write him amongst the devout, the qanitin. And whoever prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with 1,000 ayat at night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write this person as being from amongst the muqantirin, meaning those who are gathering many qintars. Any questions you'd like to ask here? What is a qintar? What is a qintar? Yes. The scholars, some say that al-qintar is in reference to 4,000 dinars of gold. So from a linguistic perspective, when the Arabs would use qintar in their currency, 4,000 dinars of gold. Others, they say a qintar is in reference to a huge sum of wealth. And others have said a qintar is in reference to an unknown amount of reward. However, the Prophet ﷺ has said something about this. He said, وَقِنْطَارٌ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. Just one qintar is better in Allah's eyes than the whole world and everything within it. One qintar. And those who are leading salah, praying salah at night for 1,000 ayat, they are the gatherers of many qintars, qanatir. They're gathering this type of reward, scooping away heaps of reward. And by the way, there is a small fa'idah, a benefit here, which Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said. He said that from Surah Tabarak, chapter 67 of the Quran, Tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk, till the last part of the Quran, Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, chapter 114, there are here exactly 1,000 verses. So he says, if a person prays at night from Surah Tabarak to Surah An-Nas, which is two juzur, yeah, two ajza, it is 1,000 ayat. So that's a benchmark or a guiding yardstick that you can use if you want to assess if you have recited 1,000 or not, and all of the Quran is great. So this is the answer to question number one: how much should I recite? Question number two: what if my memorization of the Quran is limited? Somebody may say, I don't have the ability to stand and pray without using, say, a copy of the Mus'haf. I've only memorized قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَادٍ قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ النَّاسِ. May Allah forgive me. I'm intending on going back to the memorization of the Quran. But the teacher in the masjid was so strict, and beatings with the sticks and the rest of it. So I decided to give it a miss. But no, now I want to come back to it. How do I pray at night? First of all, brothers and sisters, there are certain surahs in the Quran that equate to big percentages of the Quran. Small in size, huge in reward. Like which surah? Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. Most of us are aware of the surah. It really is the go-to surah of the Quran when you are in need of an express salah, you have a meeting, an emergency. it's really the one that we pinpoint. However, this surah is not to be belittled, because it has the descriptions of Allah. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. That's why it's called Surah Al-Ikhlas, the chapter of sincerity. Because it's purely speaking about Allah. And there was a man during the time of the Prophet ﷺ who would recite this surah abundantly. So some of the companions seemed to belittle it. كَأَنَّهُمْ تَقَالُّوهَا. It was as if they were belittling it. So he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ إِنَّهَا لَتَعْدِلُ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ. I swear by the one who possesses my life, that surah equates to one third of the Quran. One third of the Quran. So you have knowledge of one third of the Quran. This is not just a start. This is a long way into the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use that. And that is why Abdullah ibn Umar, the companion, he was once with one of his friends, Abu Ghalib, from the Tabi'een. Abu Ghalib, he said, once I was with the companion Abdullah ibn Umar, and the sun was about to rise. The time for Fajr was coming in. So he said to me, quickly, let us pray at night. Pray at night. Even if you recite something small, like a third of the Quran. I said, subhanAllah, how am I going to recite a third of the Quran? Fajr is almost there. He said to me, did you not know that قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ is equivalent to a third of the Quran? Allahu Akbar. Plug it into your salah, dear brothers and sisters, and don't belittle any part of the Quran. The second element here is the aspect of carrying a copy of the Mus'haf as you are reciting the book of Allah Almighty. Whether it's through your mobile phone, an application, or the physical book, or something to that effect. And many of the scholars are of the view that this is perfectly permissible. Certainly the madhab of the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis. And to a large extent, the madhab of the Malikis. Yes, the Hanafis have an issue with this. However, it was the way of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Our mother Aisha, she would request a servant of hers to lead her in salah at night, and he would be reciting off a manuscript of some sort. And it was the way of Al-Hasan al-Basri and Ata and others. So that's another solution for those who haven't memorized much of the book of Allah, to carry a physical manuscript. Another question. I set my alarm to pray at night, someone says, but my eyes always overcome me. And sometimes I wake up and it's almost dhuhr time. Never mind praying at night. I've missed life and death. Like, I've missed everything. What do I do in such a situation? First of all, brothers and sisters, right, before talking about the intention of such a person, realize that what keeps us bedbound are our sins. There is no other way to explain it. And this was the fatwa of our predecessors. They say to Al-Hasan al-Basri, I love to pray at night, O Imam. I love to pray at night. And I prepare the container of water to do my wudu. And I sleep. And I still miss the prayer of the night. He said to him, my brother, قَيَّدَتْكَ ذُنُوبُكَ. You have been chained by your sins. And one brother, I remember him saying this. I have seen a black and white pattern in my life. Those nights before I go to sleep, where I actively repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from my sins, I wake up that night. And those nights when I don't do that and I sleep with the sins of the eyes and the sins of the hands and the sins of the feet and the sins of other parts of the body, those nights when I sleep on those sins without repentance, I struggle to even wake up from my Fajr Salah. Shackles? They are in the form of sins, and sins are in the form of shackles. This was how our predecessors dealt with the matter. You have been shackled by your sins. And there's no other explanation. For a brother who may be in the gym boasting of his 150 kg or 200 kg that he can bench off his chest, iron that he can lift without an issue, but then when it comes to the night prayer, he's struggling to bench a mattress or a blanket off his chest that doesn't weigh 20 grams. How come? Because during that time, it's not your triceps and your pecs and your shoulders that's pushing away from you. It's your iman that's pushing away from you. And that gives you, brothers and sisters, an example of how short we are falling towards our souls. Our bodies are so nourished and so fit and strong. Our iman is crying because it is going through the throes of death. Compare gym with your ability to wake up at night And it will give you the difference between the strength of the body versus the strength of the soul. Yet what will matter on the day of judgment is the strength of that soul. Allahu Akbar. May Allah forgive us, brothers and sisters. As for those who set their alarms, they repent to Allah, they do their best, but they still manage to sleep through the night prayer. There is a hadith here that gives good news. The Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as Imam al-Nasa'i narrates on your... I can't remember the name of the companion. Imam al-Nasa'i narrates in his Sunan that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man ata firashahu wa huwa yanwi an yaquma min al-layli faghalabathu 'aynahu hatta asbah kutiba lahu ma nawa wa kana nawmuhu 'alayhi sadaqah." Ya Allah, whoever goes to his bed at night, he said alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever goes to his bed at night with the intention of praying at night, and then his eyes overcome him and he wakes up in the morning, then Allah will give him the full reward of a person who had prayed at night. And that sleep would have been a sadaqah, a charity from Allah upon him. Subhanallah. Ar-Rahman introducing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Yes. But of course, this is for those who really meet the conditions. I mean, doesn't make sense to sleep at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning and expect to wake up at Qiyam. Doesn't make sense, brothers and sisters. You have to take the means. I have to repent to Allah from my sins, and I have to say to my friends, "I'm sorry, the phone's going on flight mode at 10 o'clock now. I need to get an early night before I pray." You don't need to mention that last part. Cover your good deeds. Sleep on your right side. Sleep in a state of wudu. And then Allah Almighty will assist such a person. The fourth question before we conclude, brothers and sisters, we're almost done now. Somebody may say that I am struggling to experience the night prayer. I mean, ya akhi, I go to Taraweeh every single night in Ramadan, and I'm dragging my feet to the masjid, and I cannot even complain that this is a Formula One Michael Schumacher imam. No, this imam I'm going to, mashallah, his recitation's on point. But there's something in me. I'm struggling to enjoy the recitation. All of the thoughts of the world and all of the business ideas and all of the genius analysis comes to me when I am in salah. How come I'm not enjoying the prayer at night? First of all, dear brothers and sisters, realize that if you and I manage to tap into the joy of the prayer of the night, then we have tapped into one of the greatest of all happiness that this world has to offer. Sulaiman Ad-Darani, he said, "Ahlul layli fi lahwihim, ahlul layli fi ibadatihim, aladhu min ahlil lahwi fi lahwihim, walawla al-laylu ma ahbabtu al-baqa." He said that the people who pray at night are experiencing a joy that is far greater than the joy of the people of dunya. And if it wasn't for the night prayer, I would have asked Allah to cause me to die. Think about all of the sins that are happening at night. Whether it's in the clubs, whether it's in the pubs, whether it's behind closed doors, whether it's behind the tills. Think about all of the sins and the enjoyment that is happening. He is saying that none of this equates to even a drop in the ocean of those who pray at night. But only those who have experienced this will know this, like Sulaiman. So it brings a sweetness to it. It brings a sweetness with it. However, here is the issue. If you are struggling, dear brother, dear sister, realize that it will only be a matter of time before your soul surrenders to your wishes and comes with you to Allah Almighty smiling. It's a survival of the fittest. Who will win? Your body that is causing you to sleep, or your soul that wants to take you to Allah? It's a fight. It's a fight, an internal battle every one of us has in his life. And you and I, if we show that soul determination, resilience, and that you will not tap out, eventually your soul will tap out and it will come with you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Willingly and lovingly, as some of our predecessors, they said, "Ma ziltu asuqu nafsi ila Allah wa hiya tabki hatta suqtuha ilayhi wa hiya tadhhak." He said, "I continued dragging my soul to Allah, forcing my soul to Allah whilst my soul was crying, until finally it surrendered and it came with me to Allah Almighty whilst it was laughing, smiling." Allahu Akbar. It will come, but with time. Qiyam will not be enjoyable for you and I the first night, maybe not even the 10th night, but there will come a point where it will be your ecstasy, it will be your addiction, your yearning. You cannot do without it that evening. And if you wake up that morning and you had not prayed at night, your whole day seems dark and miserable and unproductive. And that's the status we want to reach, dear brothers and sisters, when it becomes part of our essence, this night prayer. كَابَتُ الصَّلَاةِ 20 سَنَةً ثُمَّ تَنَعَمْتُ بِهَا 20 سَنَةً ثَابِتَ الْبُنَانِي, he said, I suffered praying at night for 20 years. Then I enjoyed the night prayer for the remaining 20 years. Allahu Akbar. It will come, dear brothers and sisters. Finally, and in 60 seconds, I'm going to leave you with this answer to this question. Is the majority of the night needed for prayer so that I fit the characteristic of the true servants of Allah who spend the night prostrating and bowing? Do I need to pray the entire night? Maybe I will not be able to do that. Our lives have changed. We have the 9 till 5, and we have schools, school runs in the morning, and it's really difficult. Maybe I will struggle to pray the entire part of the night. Maybe my employer will not give me a siesta nap during the day. What must I pray in order to qualify myself as being from the true servants of Allah who spend their night bowing and prostrating? Abdullah ibn Abbas, alhamdulillah, he gives you an answer. Listen to this. He said, "Man salla ba'da al-isha'i rak'atayn kana mimman qama lillahi sajidan wa qa'iba." Allahu Akbar. He said, whoever prays to Allah Almighty two units, after the Isha prayer, then in the eyes of Allah, he has spent his night prostrating and bowing. Subhanallah. What excuse do we have, brothers and sisters? Now, this is a bare minimum, yes? And we want to build upon that. So the first night, keep it simple. Yeah? Don't go for this one-shot wonder type of thing. From the beginning, alif, lam, mim, right? And then the next day, you're not doing anything. Keep it simple. Build a pattern that you can keep consistent, then build upon it, till your body wants more and more. I think this applies to everything in life. Take it phase by phase. We ask Allah Almighty to make us the people of the night. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We were supposed to go through two characteristics of the true servants of Allah. We've gone through one, and perhaps this elaboration was needed because we are in the month of Ramadan and the month of Taraweeh. We will make up for this insha'Allah ta'ala week 3, next week insha'Allah ta'ala, same time. Are there any questions that you would like to ask, brothers and sisters? Yes. Good. طيب. Brother asked two questions. The first question is it better to pray the night prayer in congregation or by yourself? Generally speaking, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أفضل صلاة المرء في بيته إلا المكتوبة. The best prayer you can do in terms of reward is the one that you do in your house, with the exception to the 5 daily prayers. For the men, that is, the masjid is the best place for them. And for our sisters, it is their homes, the best place in terms of reward. But for the men, the best salah that you can do, any salah, is in your house, with the exception to the 5. Another exception to this that we can perhaps place is the Taraweeh salah, because the Messenger ﷺ led the companions for a few days the night prayer Taraweeh in congregation. However, be careful how you listen, take this answer, because it can be misused. Some of the scholars, including the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis, they say that for he who is able to recite the Quran well, it is better for him to pray at home, his Taraweeh Salah. He who is able to recite the Quran well, then it is better for him to recite the Quran at home on several conditions. Condition number one, that he will recite more than what he would have done in the masjid. Not to go home and to do a freestyle salah and say it's better according to the Shafi'is. Not like that. Yeah, to pray a long prayer at home, and you will enjoy the salah more. You will find your heart at home more. Condition number two, that you are somebody who has proficiency in the recitation of the Quran, so that you are like the imam, or maybe better, or you have the ability to recite. And number three, that the masajid, the congregation of Taraweeh in the masajid, do not stop, because we don't want this sunnah as well to disappear. This was stipulated by some of the scholars. It was the fatwa of Abdullah ibn Umar to a man who has the ability to recite the Quran, that he should pray at home. However, this should not dissuade us from coming to the masjid. And there is a virtue of praying here as well. And Ali ibn Abi Talib used to pray Taraweeh in the masjid. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud prayed Taraweeh in the masjid. And certainly Ubay ibn Ka'b and Tamim ibn Aws al-Dari and Umar ibn al-Khattab, they all prayed in the masjid. Yes? And if you are able to reconcile between both, praying some in the masjid and some at home, this is favorable, inshallah. Yes. Yes. So brother, he asked two questions. The first is, what is the ideal time to pray at night? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ, those who repent to Allah during the ashar time. The ashar. Ashar means the latter part of the night, when the night is the darkest, just before Fajr. It's called ashar. It's the time when you have suhoor, isn't it? Suhoor, from the same origins, because it's the last part of the night. And sihr, magic, that's when the magicians, they carry out their sorcery, because it's the darkest part of the night. So the greatest qiyam undoubtedly is when the night is very dark and people are asleep before Salatul Fajr. However, any time you pray from the completion of your Isha Salah up until Fajr, this is all qiyam. All of it is qiyam. And train yourself with what you are able to do. 2 units. This is the second part of your question. 2 units is sufficient. So you finish your Isha Salah, 4 units. Then you pray your Sunnah, 2 units. And then you may wish to pray 2 units. Qul huwa Allahu Ahad, or any other surah that you feel you find your heart with. And then you do your Witr Salah as 1 or 3 or 5 or 7 or 9 or 11. Clear? So you can stick with 2 up until you feel that you're ready to go with 4, and work your way up, inshallah, until our sides begin to forsake the beds. May Allah allow us to reach that. Yes. Any act of worship is admirable during that time of the night. Salah has a special virtue, undoubtedly. And also the element of repenting to Allah during that time. Allah said, وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ, those who repent during the night. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ, those who remember Allah standing, sitting, and on their sides, the dhikr of Allah. Dua, we also know, has a special virtue in the last third of the night, as Allah Almighty descends to the very first heaven, a descension that befits His majesty and glory. And He says, who has a request, and I will answer his dua. So dua has a virtue, dhikr has a virtue, Quran has a virtue, salah has a virtue. How much should I divide in terms of percentage? I cannot give you an answer. You do what you will find your heart with. You may pray, and then you feel that you're losing it a little bit, right? So sit down, take out your misbaha, if you don't think it is a bid'ah. I don't want the PDF now to be sent about me, right? Use maybe the counter, or preferably just your fingertips, and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, remember Allah Almighty during that time. Think about Allah during that time. Contemplate the creation of the heavens and the earth during that time. And our mother Aisha, she said that he woke up one day, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was praying at night, and he cried till he soaked his beard and soaked his lap and soaked the soil. And then Bilal came to wake him up for Salatul Fajr. Wake him up. Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is awake. He said, Messenger of Allah, how come you cry? And Allah has forgiven all of your past sins. He said, Bilal, Allah has just given me an ayah. Woe to those who recite it and they don't think about it. Woe to those who recite it and they don't think about it. What is the ayah? إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth, وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation between the night and the day, there are signs for people of understanding. Then the verses continue, those who remember Allah standing and sitting on their sides, and they think about the creation of the heavens and the earth, saying, glory be to you, O Allah, you have not created this out of vain, so protect us from the hellfire. He said, woe to the ones who recite this, yeah, and they don't think about it. So give yourself a portion of Quran, a portion of dhikr, a portion of dua, yes, a portion of rest, and also a portion of contemplation, one of the most abused and neglected acts of worship in our life. Contemplating over the majesty of the heavens and the earth, and keep this away from you. Al-aduwul ladud, your enemy, keep this away from you. Don't pray and then check and pray. This, you're finished. Your iman is gone. Keep it far away from you. You know, some of us, Allah forgive us, subhanAllah, you're about to pray, go onto Instagram, you say, about to pray, hashtag stay humble. And then you put it in your phone, you put it in your pocket. Then what happens? Allahu Akbar. Bzz, bzz, bzz. And you're reciting Quran. What are you thinking? Oh, I wonder who was the one who liked the first message. Was it Shamaima? Was it Hassan? Oh, Hassan, I know, subhanAllah, he better have liked my stuff because I liked his stuff last week. Doesn't like my stuff, I'm going to go onto my page, going to unlike all of the things that I liked for him. Keep it well away from you, brothers and sisters. Wallahi, it is the destroyer of iman. It has cut us off from looking up towards Allah. A forsaken sunnah, looking towards the heaven. Our Messenger had two habits, brothers and sisters, two habits. One habit was to look into the heavens frequently, as our mother Maymuna, she said. كَانَ كَثِيرًا مَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. He would so frequently glare into the heavens. That is not a person who's waiting for another, the next feed or comment. Looking up into the heavens, thinking about Allah. And he had a second habit, which was frequently looking towards the earth because of his shyness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his adab, his mannerisms towards Allah. And this is what stands in between. Really, keep it to a bare necessity. And if you have to even remove your social media, and we've spoken about this in the whole session that we dedicated two lectures for, the mannerisms of using social media, you will not die if you unsubscribe from all of your channels if you don't feel that the benefit is outweighing the harm that is causing you, and the disconnect that the connect with people has brought with you, the disconnect from Allah that the connection with people has brought about. Tayyib. Major tangent. Allahu Akbar. Okay, any other questions? Yes. Do you see where the question is going? Do you see where the question is going? Tab, yalla, go ahead.
Yes.
Yes. That's what I mean. Yes. Good. Brother, from his concern and his jealousy for the Ummah of Islam. Zala khair. Really, this is great ghairah for the deen. Like he's saying, don't take Surah Al-Ikhlas for a ride. Like just recite Surah Al-Ikhlas and go to sleep and say, I recited a third of the Quran. The scholars, they spoke about this. They said that the reward that comes from Surah Al-Ikhlas in terms of being a third of the Quran, هَذَا مِنْ حَيْثُ الْجَزَاءِ لَا مِنْ حَيْثِ الْإِجِزَاءِ. This is with respect to the reward, not with the respect of it being sufficient. Focus on that statement. This is with respect to the reward, not with the respect of it being sufficient. What does that mean? Means if I was to recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ three times, I do get the reward of a full recitation of the Qur'an. But is it sufficient from reciting the Qur'an? Do you see the element here? Do you see the... I do get the reward of reciting the full Qur'an if I recite it three times. And twice if I do it six times. And three times if I do it, and so on and so forth. But is this in terms of sufficiency from needing to recite the Quran? And the answer is no. You have to give yourself a portion of Surah Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, Al An'am, and Al A'raf. Yes? So, as our brother said, let us enjoy the reward that comes to Surah Al-Ikhlas whilst not neglecting our obligation towards the rest of the Book of Allah. Excellent. Tayyib, I think we will stop here, inshaAllah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.